thrilling to be here, and not the least of the joys of being here is to see at this great crossroads of the world, which London is. London is an unprecedentedly international city, a great crossroads of the world. People come here to work, to study, and as I look around this congregation, it's thrilling to see that a gospel which proclaims that in Jesus Christ there is no east or west, that a gospel brings together a great company of people from every part of the world. Yes, and I'm talking to you downstairs in the crypt, where I understand there's another enthusiastic company joining us in worship. So it is a thrilling thing to be at All Souls and to realize that you are modeling what a church in contemporary London ought to be. And that is a church on the crossroads that brings people together from many different life histories, many different cultures. And we've all come to attend to the words of St. Paul in that extraordinary letter to the Christians of wealthy Corinth, another great international city, which he addressed, inviting us, them, to be God's ambassadors. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And the message that we have to deliver is be reconciled with God. The first lesson we heard was a lesson about God's inviting. Every single day there are invitations, there is communication from God. All genuine, deep, religious faith comes from an initiative on the side of God. Abraham, Abraham, leave your household gods, leave the country with which you're familiar, and travel into a far land, a country you do not know, but which I shall show you. God's initiative. And then in the temple a little later, the boy Samuel lying on the floor between sleeping and waking, hearing the voice of the Lord, not knowing what it was, because of course in those days the rumor of God was faint. There are very few visions, you might say, a very contemporary scene indeed. But he was called to be an ambassador for God as a prophet. And then the prophet Isaiah, who's quoted by St. Paul in this passage of his letter to the Christians of wealthy Corinth. Isaiah is in the temple, very conscious of his own shortcomings, very conscious that he is a man of unclean lips, and he lives in a land full of people of unclean lips. And he has a glimpse of the glory of God, and it's overwhelming. But then there is that still small voice. Who will go for us? And Isaiah answers, I pray and hope that many of us answer in our daily lives and perhaps even this morning, here am I, send me. And then the angel comes to Mary and says, Hail Mary, the Lord is with thee. And so it begins, the new creation, the great turning point, where God communicates most profoundly in his human face, his Son, his Word. God's communication is in flesh and blood. Jesus Christ is the human face of God. Jesus Christ is the profoundest communication of God. He reveals in his life and above all in his death on the cross God's plan for the world, that there should be reconciliation again from the side of God. It's his initiative. There should be reconciliation as self-love turns into self-giving. love for God, as we see it most clearly on the cross, is not a matter of an emotion that comes and goes, that ebbs and flows. It's nothing sentimental. It is sober self-giving. And this is urgent. Paul speaks with enormous urgency, and he speaks with a sense of huge accountability to God, because there is a breach. There is a breach between human beings and God. There is a great gulf, a divorce. It's not that Jesus Christ is coming, as some peddlers of modern therapies suggest, to say, I'm okay, you're okay. That doesn't measure up to the seriousness of the situation. The human world is imprisoned by sin. And sin is a word that has come down in the world. It's been trivialized. It tends to stand in our language, a very difficult word to use in modern English. It tends to be understood as, well, something to do with Soho. It's rather trivialized, and respectable people wonder, well, how can I possibly? Ridiculous idea that I'm a sinner as well. Sin is quite seriously, and this is what all the great commentators on this passage say. Martin Luther says it, St. Augustine says it. Sin and the nature of this breach between human beings and God is because our love, our desire, which is good, which was created to relate us to God, has been turned inwards. St. Augustine talks about human beings becoming, and will you forgive me for just three words of Latin? Will you forgive me? Because it's very, very vivid. Actually, if you don't understand the language, it's so vivid. Augustine says the nature of sin is that human beings are incurvatus in se, turned in upon themselves. Now, you must be careful here, because some species of Christianity have taught a rather self-lacerating form of Christian life, where you're supposed to beat yourself up continually. It is the case, it is the truth, that loving yourself properly actually is one of the fruits of loving God. That there is no incompatibility between a proper love of the self and loving God. The problem comes when our desire and our love is distorted, is removed from its proper object, God, and turns in upon the self. St. Bernard puts it very clearly, and this is a beautiful, simple teaching, simple Christian teaching. So many of us, as it says St. Bernard, so many of us begin loving self for self's sake. Some of us actually get religion, because there are some forms of religion where God is treated as our asset. God is somehow in the suburbs of our pleasure, supporting and trying to keep us just where we are, where we want to be. And so you begin loving self for self's sake. Sometimes you graduate to loving God for self's sake. But once you've heard the message of the Word made flesh, the eternal communication of God, once you have understood the great divorce that there is between God and human beings, and that the way home, the way through Jesus Christ, as we see it on Jesus' cross, is the way of self-giving, then you come to the point where after the love of self for self's sake, the love of God for self's sake, we come to the love of God for God's sake. That's the turning point. But St. Bernard says this, that is not the end point, because after that comes love of self for God's sake. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are the beloved children of God. We cannot revere one another too highly. We bow before one another because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, dwells in each one of us. And we cannot venerate one another too highly as those for whom God in Jesus Christ has died. So there is the divine initiative. There is the breach. There is the reason for it, which is sin, which properly understood is something that we all suffer from. Respectable, it's certainly not something which is just confined to little sins. And so we are to be ambassadors of this truth. We are to be representatives, and that, of course, is another humbling and extraordinary privilege. It is by prayer and studying the Holy Scriptures that we become aware in everyday life of the many, many initiatives of God, the many communications of God, the many opportunities. We've heard about three remarkable examples. Remarkable because they are superficially so ordinary. But there is nothing ordinary to the person who has persevered in prayer, who studies the Scriptures. There are so many messages and opportunities from God every day, and he has called us to be ambassadors. Now, Paul also says in this passage that one of the worst things you can do as an ambassador is to preen yourself, is to develop a religious persona like those people who see on the surface, but in the heart it's different. Paul urges us, therefore, the matriculation requirement, the requirement for being an ambassador of Jesus Christ in this great cause, which is so urgent, because from the divorce between human beings and God flow all manner of ills. This world of ours could be a paradise in 30 seconds if we realize we have enough resources to ensure everybody is fed and housed. It's in the human heart that the envy and the hatred begins, which causes violence and conflict. This work of being an ambassador for Jesus Christ and healing this breach is urgent. But the requirement is, the condition is, real humility. Now, when I use the word humility, that's another word which is extraordinarily difficult to use in modern English. I mean, very often people seem to think that it requires us to go around saying, oh, I'm so humble. I really am very humble indeed. And, you know, if you think that I'm, well, you know, I've no gifts, I've really got nothing to say very much. That is a covert bid for power. If you are aware, you know that that sort of humility is phony, it's fake, it's a bid for power. There is nothing wrong with being, in fact, there's everything right with being aware of your gifts, your musical gifts, your gifts of speech, your gifts of empathy, your gifts of sympathy. And we've got to help one another to be clear about what gifts we have. There's nothing wrong, and in fact, everything right about being clear about our gifts, which have been given us to share. But we must be close to the earth, not preening ourselves or developing a religious persona. But we must be close to the humus. That's what humility is rooted in, close to the humus. Last year, I had the privilege, I expect many of you have stood there yourselves, of going to the place in the River Jordan, Bethany beyond Jordan, where John the Baptist baptized our Lord Jesus Christ, immersed him in the waters. The waters now, alas, because the Jordan has been drained at so many points, reduced to a bit of a brown ribbon. But what I hadn't really understood before, I should have done, but I was ignorant. The place where Jesus was standing is about the lowest place on earth. It is 1,300 feet below sea level. If you want to be an ambassador, humility is the essential preparation. And so with this preparation, studying the scriptures, prayer, humility, we are given the confidence, and my goodness me, that is one thing that Christians in contemporary UK, contemporary London need. Confidence, not the overbearing confidence of people who think they're marvellous, but confidence in God, confidence that Jesus Christ, through his cross, has opened up a way to heal the breach. Confidence, finding our voice again. We had some very realistic reflections on that earlier when those who are already ambassadors were talking about their opportunities. We must not just speak words of fire among consenting adults in private. We must realize that the grammar of the Christian faith is being edited out of our schools. And that is why I'm so deeply thrilled by the seriousness of your school's work and your work with young people and with students here at All Souls. Confidence. And then again, like Abraham, the ambassador is sent into a foreign country to represent his or her sovereign. We're sent out. We're sent out into TFL, into the sheltered housing. We're sent out. We're sent out because we are burning with urgency and compassion, because we know how many ills flow from this great breach between human beings and God. One of the things on my heart and mind at the moment, please pray, as I'm sure you are, for the widespread mental affliction among very young people. The way in which one of the greatest causes of death among young men is despair and suicide. What flows from this breach is so serious that we are sent out with compassion. Because what was the purpose of sending Abraham out? Was it just to sort of give him a certain status? No, it was that in him, God's blessing should be extended over all the families of the earth, that he is sent out for blessing and not for cursing. So, you're sent out, prepared with humility, prayer, and deep study of the Bible. You've got to be faithful as an ambassador to your instructions, and that's why you need prayer all the time. Prayer is reporting back to the sovereign, reporting back to the source. Constant prayer will enable the ambassador to do his work. And then, what is an ambassador like? Not like, perhaps, not everybody is called to be Carlton Brown of the FO. Not everyone is called to be Sir Alan FitzTitley. But we are called to be ourselves, but to commend our sovereign by our manner of speech and the life we are living. Not going out and cheating and breaking our promises and speaking, rubbishing people. So much of the evil in the world comes from overlooking people, cutting them down to size. An ambassador must commend himself and his master, whose representative he is, by his manner of life. And so it's confidence, compassion, because the need is so urgent for this ambassadorial work. And I come in the end, to the new opportunities we have. I'm very excited about the life of the church and the potential, the opportunities we've been given by God in this 21st century. I'm very old. When I was ordained, all the wise and experienced people, the real establishment in the media, the commentariat, they all knew that the story of God would have only one end: relegation to the leisure sector, and that Christianity was a more or less harmless lifestyle choice rather like vegetarianism. Nobody is saying that now. It is a life and death matter. It is an urgent matter. And we've been given so many new opportunities. One of the most obvious ones is, and it's one that empowers ambassadors wherever they find themselves, is the possibility of representing our Lord through social media, being creative in the ways in which we are ambassadors, creative in our music, creative in all sorts of other artistic endeavors, creative through the social media. Now, I may not be the right person to talk to you about this because I'm far too old, for example, to be the Archbishop of Canterbury, but still too young to be the Pope. I mean, that's that's the consolation, really. But I have lived so long that I'm not the best guide to how you can be creative as ambassadors. I went to a primary school the other day, and one of the children asked me, I thought rather aggressively, "Can you remember anything when you were at school?" And I said, "Well, yes. I was the ink monitor." Now I can see you're all too young. You don't know what I'm talking about. You have to be very responsible to be the ink monitor. I have to say that. And you took a little metal can around, and there were little china inkwells in the top of people's desks, and you emptied the can into the inkwells, and we learnt how to write with steel nibs and in copper plate. And the children looked at me with utter bewilderment until the teacher came to my rescue and said, "Oh, yes," she said, "we've just done a project on Victorian England, and there's one of those out there." So I may not be the right person to talk to you about creativity, but there are so many opportunities now. And looking at you from your many different experiences and different ages, you're the people who can take advantage of these new opportunities. So that's the work of an ambassador. It's the work which St. Paul says we are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, to preach the reconciliation in Christ by his cross. And I hope that although many of you are already ambassadors in your daily life, I hope that for the sake of the church, so that we might encourage one another, you may feel moved to affirm your ambassadorial role this morning, a role that depends on praying, studying, constantly communicating with the source, with the person for whom we are ambassadors, Jesus Christ himself, the Word made flesh. I very much hope that together with so many friends throughout this diocese, do you know we're about double the size of committed believers we were 20 years ago? Don't believe the propaganda. It is an extraordinary time in the life of the Christian community worldwide. I was in China last year, blown away by what's been achieved by the Chinese Christian churches there. This is a time of huge opportunity. It's a wonderful time to hear that call from God, that divine initiative who says, "Be my ambassadors. Preach reconciliation." And so I hope that some of you may wish to rise and to be commissioned this morning as ambassadors. Remember, there is a corridor there for anyone who wishes not to be involved. You can disappear there, nobody will judge you, and you will be free and private and unphotographed. So that aisle there, don't worry. But for the rest of you, if you would like to rise and be commissioned to ambassadors, you'll find the form on your service sheet. And thereafter, even if you haven't signed up already, there are plenty of links with materials, with the encouragement of seeing how many other people have offered themselves at this great international crossroads to be ambassadors for Christ and to preach the reconciliation that comes through the cross. So, would anyone wish to stand and be commissioned? Well, we've got quite a showing from the photograph-free. So, together, shall we say these first words? As a disciple of Jesus Christ in London, I commit to being a prayerful ambassador for the gospel. Will you, beloved, endeavor to maintain a life of daily prayer, regular Bible reading and worship, allowing you to grow in faith? Will you pray for one another and those around you that all may follow Christ more closely? Will you live in such a way that your life speaks of the love of Christ? Will you dare to carry the light of Christ into the world's dark places? On behalf of the whole church in this Diocese of London, I commend to you this work, pledge to you our prayers and encouragement and support. May the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen you that in all things you may do God's will in the service of Jesus Christ our Lord.